Right.
Okay. This past week's parsha was a very difficult parsha to make heads or tails out of. We have the famous story of Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock. So again, I'm not here to try to explain it or to understand it. The Rishonim struggle to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu's aveira was. I'm definitely not going to attempt to come up with a pshat. Then the other major topic that was discussed was the Paraduma. I think one of the takeaways from the Paraduma, which maybe we could understand, is a perhaps overlooked element that by the Paraduma, we know that the person who was coming to become Tahar, so he was Tameh, he becomes Tahar. But those that were involved in making him Tahar become Tameh, which is very unique, which is actually why it's called a Chayik. But if you delve into that a little deeper, you'll realize there's an amazing level of selflessness that this required. If I was told that you need to become Tahar, but by doing so, I become Tameh, you know what I say? Nice knowing you, I'm not interested. Because why do I want to become Tameh to help you? I understand, no, but you became in contact with a dead body, you need to go through time, but why do I have to lose by doing that? So perhaps that's one of the very important takeaways that we can, talk about Parshas Paraduma, is that it requires real giving up for someone else. Maybe that's why it says in the opening pasuk, Zois chukas ha-Torah. This is for the whole Torah. What does it have to do with the whole Torah? The answer is that's what all Judaism is about. Judaism is all about giving up for someone else, going beyond the call of duty, even though it might harm you. It's going to cost you. That's called doing for someone else, going beyond your own boundaries and your own needs to do for someone else. But we find even a bigger chiddush in the parasha also. Rashi tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was worried to go to war against Og because he thought Og might defeat him. Why would Og defeat him? Because Og had his chus. Because when Avraham Avinu was notified that Lot was captured, who was the person who notified him? It was Lot. So Lot has a good merit on his record. So all the Mefarshim ask, you know why Og did that? Not because he was a big Baal Chesed. Og did it because he wanted to marry Sarah. So what was Avraham Avinu worried about? So Mefarshim say, you see from here, even an act of kindness, Shaloi Lishma, for all the wrong reasons, still carries a significant amount of power and weight in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the point that Moshe was even worried that he might not be successful in war because he's going up against a person who did an act of chesed, Shaloi Lishma. Because at the end of the day, when a person does an act of chesed, he goes out of his comfort zone for another Jew. And that is extremely valued in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's something which is truly special. Again, it's a takeaway. We live in a world where we're very self-absorbed on ourselves. So to go out of our comfort zone to think about someone else is talking about something very, very special. Today's share is dedicated for the Yahrzeit of Eliezer ben Shlomo, David's father, whose Yahrzeit is Yud Ches Tammuz. I had the privilege of giving a share on the Yahrzeit on Yud Zayin b'Tammuz, the Schuss, his neshama, as many others have done in this neighborhood. Unfortunately, I never got to meet him, but I can tell what type of person he is from hearing about him from David over the years and seeing the type of children he produced. He was a Yid who mamash lived this. He was always about other people. He was living in Florida when it wasn't popular to live in Florida. Now it's no big deal to live in Florida. Back then it wasn't so in style. And there was a lot less from options and opportunities that there were today. But he built unbelievable relationships with Gedolim, which exist even till today. David still keeps up with many of those Rabbanim, which is really, really special. And Baruch Hashem, that askanus, that desire and drive to do for others and to be there for others is definitely seen. I've seen with my own eyes from David many, many times. And that's something really beautiful. And that's really a schus for his neshama, that his values are passed down to the next generation, and our learning today should be a schus for his neshama on the upcoming Yahrzeit. Today's learning is also dedicated to Sarah Malka Bas Aaron on an upcoming Yahrzeit as well. And we'd like to wish a very special mazel tov to the Friedmans upon the recent engagement of their grandson that took place last week in Toronto. I know we're happy you guys are back. It took a couple of days, but we got you guys back. Baruch Hashem, you should see many, many more simchas from the entire mishpach. Okay, so just the sheets wise, they're a little confusing over here. So we have two Shir Chav Cheses. So the first Shir Chav Ches is what we need to finish off from last week, and then we'll get to the full Shir Chav Ches for this week. So we were talking about last week, at the end of the day, how is it possible to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah? How is one able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah if we don't know how to write it because of Yiseris v'Chaseris? So I want to start off, it says number 9 on the sheet that says Shir Chav Ches, number 9, the Ginaz V'Rodim. The Ginaz V'Rodim was authored by an Egyptian Rav in the 1600s. He was a very big Pesach. The reason why he's somewhat famous is besides for the fact that he's quoted by Reb Kiveger very often on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, he was the one who took the Pri Chodesh out of his band. If anyone learns Shulchan Aruch, on the back of the Shulchan Aruch, there's a commentary from the Pri Chodesh. So the Pri Chodesh was originally banned by many of the Rabbanim in his time because they thought he was too Mechudash, which he does have some very big Chedushim. One of his famous chidushim, which we don't rely upon halacha or ma'aseh completely, is that he holds that the isra of chol, the din of chol yisrael, only applies if you're on a farm where there are other cows or other animals that are not kosher milk. Let's say, for example, today we get our milk from dairy farm. On a dairy farm, you're not going to find a pig running around. So the prechadish says that there's no din that you need to have chol of yisrael if there's no chash, there's no pigs floating around that can produce non-kosher milk. So that pre-chadish was a very big chadish. We do not accept the halacha. We use it maybe as a sniff with other factors, but that was the pre-chadish. I mean, he wrote that, he got banned. And some people get in trouble for them. No, I'm being serious. Sometimes when they're too big. I'm saying, but sometimes when they're too out of the way everyone else is thinking, people get nervous. I'm not saying they're right or wrong. Yeah, I'm not saying they're right or wrong. So for a while they banned him and they banned his farm. And the Ginnis of Aradim decided to bring him back. When did he bring him back? After he died. After the Pre-Chadish died, the Ginnis of Aradim said, "No, it's enough. He died already. His Misa was Mechaber." That's what he says. So now we can bring him back into society. Okay. So the Ginnis of Aradim is quoted very often by Rabbi Kivega. So obviously he was a big goddess. Let's see what he writes over here. Again, just remember, we're talking 1600s over here. Number 9 writes the Ginnis of Aradim. Kalal Oilo, the takeaway is the Mistoma has Soifim Shelfanenu, the Soifim that we have today. They tried their best to figure out what exactly is the tradition to how to write a Sefer Torah. They tried to make some form of an outcome with all the different opinions and all the different options. And when they came to a conclusion, they came to that conclusion based on seeing the majority of what was out there, what was available to them. And we are, it's proper to go after the majority. We have a rule. The majority rules. Therefore, says the Ginnis V'Radim, these Seifrim, talking about 400 years ago, when they sat down to write Sefer Torah, they did their research. They found that this is what's out there on the majority, and this is what we're going to go with. And then he adds, U'lechein tifuk tikon svarim sheb yadein. Therefore, they fixed the svarim that we have. She'tiktu lanu harishoinim. Olav ein lehoisif u'mimenu ein negrei. Don't touch the way it is. This is the new accepted version. And we should treat this as if this is what was told to us at Sinai. This is the new accepted halacha. After they sat down and they worked out and they came to a conclusion, this is now what's acceptable as a Sefer Torah. Then he writes, anytime you're going to change going forward, and now after this new established and assumed protocol, if you're going to then do anything after that, then you'll be considered a chassid, yes. So what does it sound like from the Ginnis V'Radim? We had to work with what we had. We sat down and we said, listen, this is what we have. It sounded like he even did manuscript work. He went and looked at other svarim, and he looked at the majority, and halacha, we have a rule. You go after the right. Therefore, says the Ginnis V'Radim, exactly, that's his rule. So the question is, I want to know, would he make a bracha now on the writing of a Sefer Torah? We saw Chassam Sofer, we'll get into this much more this week. Chassam Sofer suggested the reason why you don't make a bracha when you write a Sefer Torah is because you don't know if you got it right. Would the Ginnis V'Radim agree to that? Now, the Ginnis V'Radim lived almost 150 years before the Chassam Sofer. But I want to know, would he agree to that premise?
No.
I don't know.
So was his,
I'm not
his,
sure.
Was his view,
yeah,
right or wrong, this is the new right?
Or good.
This one was the right one?
So it's hard to know. We'll see some Achreinim say it like you. Right or wrong, at this point, this is the new acceptable and we're going to work with it. Others say no. Whenever you work with a roif, again, this is a little way out of our topic of discussion, but let's say you work with a roif in any area of halacha. How does that work? Do you know for sure? No, you don't know for sure. You're using a majority. Majority rules is not always a bit, it's a hakir about it. Does roif mean you now know for sure? Or roif is just a way you have to live life? You don't know for sure, but you have to live life. So he's suggesting, he is rather suggesting that these seifrim in the 1500s, sat the 1400s, whenever it was, they sat down, they looked at the numbers, they looked at the svarim, they said, listen, this is the way it's leading, so we're going to follow it. So that's the problem. People point out, this is not a typical roiv over here. This is a roiv based on books. You know, if I would show you another 100 books that go the other way, then everything would be thrown off. So it's a unique type of roiv over here, but they worked with what they had. And they, but again, what I want to know is, Loit Deginas V'Radim, would he make a bracha on such a Sefer Torah? I think he would. So it might depend if roiv is a beer or a roiv is on haga. Right? If roiv is a beer, a roiv says this is what it is, so then it should be good enough even a bracha. That's what he's saying, at least in his times. Well, they have all, there's slight differences in tradition, even today. Right? For example, the famous one that still exists today is the word Ptsuadaka. How do you spell the word Daka? With a hey or with an aleph, is still a machloikis up till today.
So
Sure. Yeah, sure. Depending. Yeah, there are. There are quite a few. There's still machloekim up till today. Shulchan Aruch HaRav versus the Vilna Gaon. So they do exist today. But we have to work with what we have, yeah. Whatever he had back then, I don't know. Whatever he had, whatever he was using with. So he was saying that's the accepted approach. So most shuls today, that's pretty accepted under one basic, basic acceptance of ksav. Again, then there's a question of how the letters are going to look, which we spoke a little bit about last week. So the computer check is probably going to be working with a certain assumption or whatever's put into the computer, like AI, whatever you tell it is what it knows. I did a little research last week over the Dead Sea Scrolls for those of you that it's not really relevant to our sugi for a couple of reasons, mainly because the Dead Sea Scrolls, those that were attributed to them weren't really our type of religious background. So it's not going to be very helpful what they did because they weren't from the same camp as me and you. They were a whole different type of religious background. So it's questionable whether or not we can use anything that they have or didn't have. But maybe one day we'll talk about it more. But in any case, as I said, the Guinness Varadim. So I want to know, according to the Guinness Varadim, in his time in the 1600s, when they made Achlan Sefer Torah, did they make a Barach on the Ksiva Sefer Torah? I don't know. I would think you should. If you have a Roy that dictates, maybe you should make the Barach. The Klausenberger talks about that. He wants to tell you, maybe that's the Machloikis about whether you do Hagbah before Kriyas Torah or after Kriyas Torah. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, some groups still do this today. They do Hagbah before they leave. It says like that in Shulchan Aruch. We don't do that. So he wants to be tailored somehow in this Shiloh by Yisayis V'chaseiris. Because, sometimes after you read it, you might realize there's some things are missing. So maybe that's what they do before. This is the Torah. Even before we get into it and see the Yisayis V'chaseiris, this is the script we have. He's somehow taller. I couldn't follow it in the truth, but he makes this connection somehow.
That's why you should say,
yeah, that's another reason. That's the problem. That's because it's a sukkah
that
would
nicely.
Be nice. After this is correct. Yeah. So I would think, according to him, once you follow, again, it might depend on how you understand the roiv. If a roiv is a birur, so then 100%. If a roiv is just a practice, maybe you can't make a brachon. Now, if you take a look in the
other.
It might not be. It might be the same question. Could be. True. Yeah. Could be. Anytime you deal with a roiv, you have to know, can you make a bracha? Yeah, I agree with you 100%. So let's take a look into Aruch HaShulchan. He has a different approach, maybe a little bit more controversial. He writes, he says the same svara. The vaday de acheri rabim lahatois, v'alocha keini, v'achanami, harin izchabu svarim rabim al-mesayres, b'chesed yeser, so his first answer is like the Ginos Varadim. You got to work with the majority. But listen to the next svara. Very interesting. He brings a raya from a Gemara in Becheres Dafid Zayin. What's the Gemara in Becheres Dafid Zayin talking about? The Gemara over there is talking about, are human beings able to be mitzamtzem? Can we get things perfect? Is it possible for a human being to get something perfect? Right? So Gemara is a whole din. So if you ask people, they'll tell you, of course, I'm perfect. No one else is. I'm Efshel Tzamtzem, but the rest of the world is flawed. So the Gemara has a whole shayla, Zedev Shalat Samson. So the Gemara brings a raya from the Klei HaMishkan. The Gemara brings a kasha, what about from the building of the Kelim and the Mishkan? So the Gemara over there says, so he quotes the Gemara, the man disreal, the Efshalat Samson, bide Odom, hech tziv Hashem lasis, orn v'kelim amida, kach v'kach hara, Kodesh Baruch Hu give us a mitzvah. That very clear, specific measurements, right? Any contractor knows, he can't always get it exactly. Ha e Efshalat Samson, that's the Gemara's kasha. Umitari, so the Gemara answers, Rachmona Omer Ovid, who behold the mamzis l'mavid nichl. The Gemara says, try your best. When it came to the Aron, Hashem asked us to try our best. And Rashi in Becheres writes, the measurements were not perfect. They were slightly off. Because human beings can only do as much as they can. That's right. We're humans. We try our best. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, same thing also. What do you want us to do? It was lost. We can only do our best. What do we tell our kids? Do your best, right? Work with what you have. So, but there's a shtickle kash over here. The comparison is not the same. You take the break. Let's analyze this for a second. We're talking about when the Torah gave us a tzivit to build the Mishkan with certain measurements. Whenever you deal with measurements, it's very hard to be perfect. So the Gemara.
Forget there. The measurements were in Amo.
Correct.
How do we know what the Amo was?
We don't.
Say it
doesn't,
Amo.
Right?
So somebody had to decide.
There must have been.
No, that's not
They must. It was Shurim. So they knew what they needed to do. The question is how. Again, I'm not a contractor, but I can imagine whenever you're doing any type of physical work, there's always a little bit gets. You can't get it perfect. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, in the same way you can't get that perfect, we can't get this perfect. What's the obvious kasha?
That's because they forgot.
It's not because we can't do it. It's because we don't know the information. It's like a guy saying, listen, I forgot what they said in class yesterday, so I'm going to do my best. Oh, you should have listened in class yesterday and know what you're supposed to do. Back then, when it came to the Binyan HaKelim, it was a physical restriction. Physically, it's almost impossible to build something with an exact perfect measure. But this wasn't that. This was our lack of knowledge that was lost over the tradition. There was a time when they got it perfect. Right? There was a time as Manatanoim where they knew how to write a Sefer Torah. So what are you going to claim? Well, because now we don't know, we're going to throw up our hands and say, listen, what do you want us to do? Try your best. No. You got to get down to the bottom of it. So l'chayru, you're going to have to answer for the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan will tell you, you're right. But at the end of the day, this is what we're holding right now. Right now, Ba'asher Rushon, we come to the table, this is the best we can do. So we can either say, Hashem doesn't want us to write a Sefer Torah, which is what the Shagazayah held, which is what people say about Tcheles. Hashem doesn't want you wearing Tcheles because you don't know what it is, so don't do it. So that might be what the Shagazayah held. Or you say, listen, Hashem wants us to do the best we could, be the best that we can be, and try the best you can try. So try your best. So the Shagasaya that piece actually writes exactly that point. He says there's no mitzvah deraisa to write a Sefer Torah, but there is a mitzvah derabanan, so we shouldn't forget having a Torah. But not a mitzvah deraisa. No, we need ksav to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. But the mitzvah, but not the mitzvah deraisa of Kriyas HaTorah, according to the Shagasaya, you don't have to. Right, you can take it off the list. Right, take it off the list. Just like some people take off Tchelas off the list of mitzvahs. Maybe next week we'll talk. I don't know. So that's what I want to talk about next week. It's a little off topic, but you know, L'chava July 4th, maybe we'll go a little off topic, even though July 4th is this week. But I have more time to prepare next week. I want to talk about the Shaila does Halacha force you to take a risk or nothing to lose by doing a mitzvah misaf? So the question is, but are you mechuyev to do it? Does the Torah make a Jew do something just because Suffolk dictates he should do it? That's the big argument with Tchelis. That might be the argument. We had this kasha on the Shagasaya. Shagasaya says, we don't know how to write a Sefer Torah, so we just sit back and I'll do it. Why not? Why don't you have to try? Because Safik Derais L'Chumra. So does Safik Derais L'Chumra require you to do a mitzvah, even if after you do the mitzvah, you still won't know if you did the mitzvah? We mentioned this far last week, because you don't know if you'll get it. So we'll talk maybe next Sunday.
That might really, what is the harm?
It's not a question of a harm. The question is, do you have to? You're right. If you want to do it, no one will yell at you. But can you argue that I have to? Right? There'll be a get to, let's say, for example, blowing shofar bein hashmashos. Let's, for example, a person missed shofar a whole Rosh Hashanah, and the first time he has the chance to blow shofar will be after shkia. So should he bother getting about the get to blow shofar? Or does he say, no, listen, it's bein hashmashos. Bein hashmashos is a suffix. So why bother? So believe that the next week we'll get into that. We'll jump us around. We'll keep us jumping around different topics of Shas, which is always fun and interesting to do. So if you take a look over in the last source over here, Shmuel Vosner says like this, Omnon, Aval, Ha'emes HaPshuta De'en Ono B'kiyim B'yaseis V'chaseiris. Says of Shmuel Vosner, Avada, we are attacking not experts. Ein Eichas V'sholom Shum Siba L'Hokal Kula Kol Du B'Sefer Torah Shalanu. This is not a reason for us to take lightly Sefer Torah. In Matzah B'hem Chosiv Yesek Fi Matzah HaMaseri B'tkufa Shalanu Shalim Solonu Midar B'dar Derech HaKsiva U'Misper Oisei Sefer Torah. This does not give us a reason just to be lax with Yiseris vechaseris based on those that we know of. Kivan shenim salon sefer Torah kifishu lefanenu also learn the shanas afilu kutsa shiyud the davar pashut meoid the roiv rubam shemaleis vechaseris ein b'hem beis days. Says the Shmuel Vosner Yisoid, most of the Yiseris vechaseris are not disputed. It's only a small portion of Yiseris vechaseris that are fight about. Most of them we all agree on what they are. So the nichtav in kachni mi moisaylum, and that we have a tradition. Bevadai gam onu bikim, and even those we know about. I umash oma bekedushin daflamet amalei inu bikim b'yaseis v'chaseris anamle bikim. I the Gemara says we don't know yaseis v'chaseris. Zeu b'miyut mekoyim yishebetayr. That's only a very small part of the Torah. Shenishtabesh aleinu hamseiro that we got messed up. Our tradition, the yevshel achri al api mispar oisya shebiyadin. Says the Reb Shmuel Vosner, the numbers are not as extreme as we make them out. We make it sound like on every Sefer Torah, there's hundreds and hundreds of words we know nothing about. So that's the point, which we'll talk a little bit more about today. Right. So the Rabban told us, if you have one letter off, it throws off the whole Sefer Torah because it's Shemesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's suggesting that the Gemara is not as extreme as we made it out to be. We made it out to sound like the Gemara, that we don't have no clue. We're opening a Sefer Torah, where Mama's shooting in the dark. Say, it's not as bad as you make it out to be. There's plenty of letters that we do know. There's a small amount of letters that we don't know.
And when you say we don't know, it could be one or the other.
Correct.
Like an A or an O.
Correct. If or with a vav or without a vav. But it gets not reading. The question is the writing. you'd have to write three different versions, which we'll talk about maybe next. So maybe you should.
So it's like
right. So the question is, so why didn't they require us to write many options of Sefer Torah? So we talked about that last week. We'll talk about it more next week. And we saw Rebbe Yashin. Right. So there, that's a question of pronunciation. Here, the reading, the writing would be so many different configurations. So says Rebbe Shmuel Vosner like this. You cannot veer off. And then he says, I found the Mamshik, which we'll see in a second. So again, halach l'maisa, I don't think one should quickly go like the Shagasai and throw away the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Even though we mentioned last week from the Chavetz Chaim that he told his son, one of the reasons why he didn't ever do the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah was because of this Shagasai. But that's probably not the real reason. The real reason was because he never really had the money to do so. Okay. So let's go to today's Shir Chavchetz. That should be double sided. So if you take a look at number one, the Sefer Emek Bracha, so he points out the Kasha that I mentioned to you earlier on the Aruch HaShulchan. He writes, Ochen Yesh Lohoyer. On the comparison that the Aruch HaShulchan made to the building of the Klei HaMishkan to writing Yeseyas V'chaseyas, he said it's a bad comparison. Because over there, by the Kalim, it was never possible to build the Kalim perfectly. And the Torah says, try your best. Must be all Hashem demands of us is to do our best. This is not an impossibility to write a Sefer Torah perfectly. Haray, they did it for times bizman hatanoim. So therefore, points out the Sefer, and it's a good argument that the comparison that Aruch HaShulchan makes is not exactly comparable, because by the Binyan HaMishkan, no one ever from the beginning of the creation of the world was able to do this. So it must be Hashem says try your best. But over here, there was a time when we were able to do it. Just because now we lack the knowledge, now we throw up our hands and say, listen, Hashem, what do you want for me to do? So that might be the answer. That might be what the Aruch HaShulchan holds. Right. Sometimes in life, we say, listen, when you can't, it must be Hashem only demands that you try. Now, interestingly, the Maram Sheikh, we know the Maram Sheikh was one of the prize students of the Chassam Sofer. We'll see why that's important in a second. So the Maram Sheikh wrote a couple of Svarim. One of his Svarim, he wrote a Pirush on the Tariq Mitzvahs. Okay, so look what he writes over in number two. He wants to explain a shayla, which we'll get to B'nai Ned a little bit later today. Why is a Sefer Torah that's missing a letter possible? Why is it possible? So the truth is, we'll see a little bit more today, there's no real Gemara Mefurish that says it is possible, believe it or not. There's no Gemara Mefurish on the books that says Mefurish that a Sefer Torah, Shechaser, Ois Achas, a Yeser is possible, which would be very good for us. Because the Shagasai is all bent out of shape. How are you Mekayim Ksiva Sefer Torah? Who says you're not Mekayim Ksiva Sefer Torah? Who says yes to the Chaser is possible Sefer Torah? Who said? So we always have in our head that it does. And the Shagasai references the Gemara Menachas, but in other places, it's not 100% clear in Shas, and definitely not in the Rishonim, that it's even true. Oh, okay, that's what we're going to get to today. How does Shagasai?
It's not possible.
So some of the Yeseyas V'chaseyas don't impact necessarily the word or the meaning. Sometimes it does. I came across a Shaila in Truva Sefer where they had a Shaila by Ben Sayer Amirer. They wrote Ben with a Yud. Ben Sayer Amirer. So you'll say, what do you mean? But the Ramah told us, Ein Bikim Yeseyas V'chaseyas. So the answer is, come on, what are you talking about? That's a whole different word. Bin and Ben is a different word. So that was, you know, one type of shaila. Even though we had the Noid Behuda, who said that if you forget the Vav in Atem and you write Oysim with the Vav, it's still kosher. Even though everyone knows it's supposed to be Atem, not Oysim. So it gets tricky about what type of letters, but plenty of them don't make a difference. Tahar, we had in Parsha, this week, last week's Parsha. Tahar sometimes had the Vav and sometimes didn't have a Vav. Did it change anything? No. So with that, Pasal Sefer Torah. No, so it's spelled without the Yud. We read it Bin. That's a shaila. Why we read it Ben, not Ben? It's a good discussion. But so
also Ben Hakosa Russia.
Right.
They're the same thing.
Right. So the question is, when would a Mole and Chaser change it? Usually not. Granted, in that case it would, because that wasn't a Mole and Chaser.
Yeah.
That was a year that didn't belong there. But when would a Mole and Chaser actually, so it's, is it so partial? We'll see. There's a Shita Sataisus like this. That a Mole and Chaser doesn't pass the same
thing. You can't have a word where it makes a difference because it depends on the context.
So if it changes the word drastically, so it's gonna might be worse.
But it depends, yeah, but you can look from the context what the word.
Yeah, but if the word itself is written wrongly, we'll see. It's a machlokes rishonim. But the Maram Shik made up his own pshat. Writes the Maram Shik, Vini oyda marti the hard the chaseres v'chaseres poislim. How do you know you says v'chaseres pasul sevitera? Yalfin alma we learn it mitayras Hashem tamima. After that pasuk is in Tehillim, not in the Chumash. It says in the Tehillim, Tayras Hashem tamima. The Tayras Hashem is complete. So therefore, what the imkain? So what's like? This is a chiddush. Says the two chiddushim in this marmshet.
It was first, when he wrote Tayras Hashem tamima.
He's saying I write a sevitera with an obvious mistake, an obvious mistake. Not a disputed mistake, a clear mistake. So it's not complete. It's not tamim. So he writes like this. If the reason why I say the Torah that's chaser is possible is because it's not tamimim. So he says tamimim doesn't mean full. Tamimim means open, outward, missing. That's if it's an open, clear mistake that I botched. So then the Sefer Torah is not complete. But if it's subjected to a machoikis, then it's not lacking in Torah Hashem Tamima. So therefore says the Maram Shek, all of our Sefer Torah are taka considered shalim. Because even though they're physically not shalim, but since he understood that the whole reason why shalim is a problem is because it's lacking in Tamimus, but it's not lacking in Tamimus if it's not there because of a machoikis. There's two different opinions. Correct. I mean, according to him, his point is, Tamim means a clear-cut omission. Right, but if someone holds that this is the right way to write it. That's right. So this is an unbelievable chiddush on two fronts. Chiddush number one, he made up a drasha. That's not where we learn that the Sefer Torah Chos is from Torah Hashem Tamimah. That's a pasuk in the Navi. And second chiddush he's saying is that if that's the reason why it's possible, if it's omitted because of a halachic machoikis, then it's not felt in Tamimah. Very, very big chiddush. That's what he's saying. That's part of his pshat. Now it's very nice because he got it from the pasuk of Torah Hashem Tamima. But the question is, who told him that's the makar for a sefer Torah Shachas? Very big chiddush. Yeah. Maybe.
Didn't we have an opinion last week? Somebody said it's just not important. That's why.
That was the Menachas Chinuch, right? So Menachas Chinuch went the route that it depends on how significant the letter is or is not. He's saying that all you say is v'chaseres that are subjected to machloikis. We throw up our hands and say, this is what Hashem wants. I'm writing for sure, right? Even though there's a sheet in the Gemara, let's say, for example, that says this is supposed to be read this way, but if I'm doing one opinion in the Gemara and I'm writing it based on a machoikis, that's called a full Sefer Torah. A very big chiddush. But that's not even the chiddush of the day for the Maram Shek. Let's see a bigger chiddush. Says the Maram Shek. Yeah.
So you have that kavona when you write the Sefer Torah, right? So if it's Sofer intended to use an Aleph when he wrote a Hey, so in his, what he did was a mistake, but there is a sheet that says the hay is okay.
Yeah, so
that's still okay. In other words, when he was writing it, he was making a mistake.
Some of that would be a kasha.
Not knowing that somebody else would hold it.
He got really lucky, this guy. Yeah, it would probably work. Yeah, I think so. So take a look at this Maram Shik. This is the last tickle Maram Shik in Yerodea. If you'd open up a Chuvah's Maram Shik in Yerodea, this is the last piece. He writes the following. Ubegufa kusha shal shagasaya. Now, let's go back to the shagasaya's kasha. What was the Shagasayas Kasha? How do you ever fulfill the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah if we none of us know how to write Yiseres V'chaseres? Says the Maram Shik, Deich Yoidel Mekayim and Mitzvah Seish of Ksiva Sefer Torah, Im Kain, Nemer Gam Kain, they need to fill in the mezuzahs. Frek the Maram Shik, why did the Shagasayas stop at Sefer Torah? Why don't we have the same problem with filling the mezuzahs? V'eich Mevarchim Aleihin, how does every Jew put on tefillin every morning and make a bracha? How does he know those parashas are written correctly? So this Kasha is not his Kasha. We saw this from the Menachas Chinuch. Menachas Chinuch told us none that tefillin and mezuzahs were never forgotten. You know why? Because they're frequently written. People don't write Sefer Torah every day. Tefillin and mezuzahs. Every time a kid gets bar mitzvah, needs a new pair of tefillin. Every time you get into a house, you need a mezuzah. So mezuzahs and tefillin, the tradition was never touched. But Sefer Torah, that already we didn't know. So he doesn't like that. I don't know why he doesn't like that teretz. So he gives his own pshat. He says like this: unbelievable. El nira dolei kosher midi. The hachol haTorah kach nemro lonu ulavenenu adaylom lasoyis is called divrei haTorah zoyis. Torah is forever in every generation. In every setting, the Kalom du Chazal b'Sifri lo yisosu min adover shegid l'choyim minu smol afil oim l'chal imin shu smol yikamoko din ha-toyri hi l'oilom ul'chal dor v'dor. Torah doesn't change. Meaning he wouldn't, I don't know what he would do with Chelas, according to him. He's saying it can't be that we just throw out a piece of Torah. The Torah says, right, this mitzvah, right, say the Torah. Well, today it doesn't apply, we throw it out. So you can't do that. It doesn't work that way. You have to continue to keep all of the mitzvahs ha-Torah. Lefi haskamos roiv chachmei ador ahu. With the consent of the majority of the rabbis. Well, obviously certain things are halachically impossible, like mitzvahs atluyos baritz. So that's what we would have assumed. That would have been our. That, Right. So there was different because the mitzvah was never structured to be done in America. There was never a din to take off, you know, chumas and maishas in America. So he said like this. This is the chiddush. Even if they're not right. You hear this, Amar Meshach? We're working with the rabbis. Maybe the rabbis don't have it all together. This is Renegade to Tchelis, right? This is Renegade to Tchelis, right? I mean, let's say. I don't know what he held personally about Tchelis. Because he's making the argument that once he'll argue there was no Haskamas G'day Olam on it. I mean, he says very clearly, you have to have Haskamah of Chachmei Ador Hu. There was no Haskamas Chachmei Ador Hu in his time. That was even before. If he would live today, maybe. You have to know if you have Roiv Haskamah Chachmei Ador today also. You're not going to get it today. I don't think it's even. You have a whole Hasidic group will never wear Tchelis. So you lost out on that whole population. And the whole Brisker population won't wear Tchelis. So you're left with a slimmer, much smaller population.
Especially
to do.
The next Gemara Mekhlem is also according to Hasidic show.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely won't hold
it. I don't know if you'd have Roiv Chachmei Ador on it. I don't know. Not sure.
Both. Sounds like a Das Torah type of
Sita. Right. He's saying that once the rabbis say this is the way you do the mitzvah, then you do it. Maybe they got it wrong. Not your problem. You got to follow what they tell you. That's their leadership role.
Now he's asserting that they have that
for the safe return. Right. And therefore he writes, this is the chiddush of the day. V'im kein, kivin shel lefi, daitenu as safe return, ein achatzer ayeser, hu kosher mamish min ha-Torah, v'shaper onu mevachim Allah. Says Maram Shik, our Sefer Torah 100% kosher. And you can make a brach on them. What does he mean, make a brach on what? Bukhari means even on Ksiva Sefer Torah. That's against the Rebbe. That's against the Rebbe, the Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer told us, we don't make a brach on Ksiva Sefer Torah because we're not an expert if we got it right or wrong. Hey, Maram Shik seems to say not like that. He seems to say that if I write a Sefer Torah, based on... So we'll get to that little... We'll get to that in a second. We'll see. Maybe he means that. It doesn't sound like that, but maybe he's not arguing on the Rebbe, the guy with the mitzvah, Ksiva Sefer Torah. It's just regarding how do you get an aliyah. The Shagasai got an aliyah also on his Sefer Torah, right?
He wouldn't need to say make a bracha, because you can make a bracha on a Sefer Torah.
Good, we'll get that also in a few minutes.
Sorry,
correct. So to me, we'll talk about it. Hold off, we'll get to it. We have a bunch of Maamar Kremes on that. But so if you take a look in the Sefer Divrei Yoel is written by Yisrael Volz. Yisrael Volz was also an Hungarian, keeping it in the Hungarian track over there. So he was also a Hungarian. He was a rav in Budapest before the war. He survived the war. So he writes like this. He says, Lefi Maram Shik Hanau Loi Poyo Beteret Zeklum. The Kivan de Lididon Mukhoi Venlichtiv Sevetera Shahamaseira, Vukoshim and Atera, Danam Paskin and Kimisaira Pira Poiskim Shechu, K Negra Shas, Vamad Loi Voch. In fact, the Divri Yisrael, according to this Maram Shik, you should make a bracha on the Ksiva Sefer Torah. And his Rebbe, the Chassam Sefer, said very clearly, you don't make a bracha on the Ksiva Sefer Torah. So there's still a bit of a problem he's pointing at, that this doesn't work with his Rebbe, the Chassam Sefer. Because the Rebbe, the Chassam Sefer, told us in two tshuvas, you don't make a bracha when you're at a Sefer Torah, because we still don't know if you're doing the mitzvah right. Here the Maram Shik sounds very clear. No. If you're writing it with a tradition, you can even make a bracha. Okay. Sometimes the Rebbe and the Talmud don't agree. It happens. Okay. Fine. Now, let's go to a different shayla over here.
Yeah.
The rush. So that we don't make a bracha either, right? So there might be other reasons why there's no bracha on this mitzvah, which we'll come back to a little bit today. So if I found over here a very nice shtickle from the Pnei Menachem. Who was the Pnei Menachem?
Ger Rebbe.
Looks it up a little bit. So the Ger Rebbe, one of the, in the there was Achnozim.
The one before, wasn't that the Magid's Rebbe, the Divisor?
No, Divisor Volz. Divisor Volz. Because
he also wrote a Divisor.
Could be that. This was a Yisrael Volz. So the Pnei Menachem, the Ger Rebbe writes a shtickle. They wrote up from him what there was apparently Achnos Sefer Torah to the Ger Beis Medrash, and he gave a shir on the topic. So the shir that he gave was very relevant to our discussion. So he writes like this. He asks the kash on the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer that told us that you don't make a brach on Ksiva Sefer Torah because you don't know if you got it right. So affect the Ger Rebbe, the $1 million question. If you can't make a brach on the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, because you're assuming that you're not getting it right, so how do we make a brach on Kriya Sator? How do we make a brach every Monday, Thursday, every Shabbos? How do we make a brach?
Because one's after dinner learning, when that would be the other one's after Ksiva.
Yeah, but the takonah l'chayr was to read from a Sefer Torah, right? Because according to you, why not just take out a Chumash I'm not from a Chumash.
And a Hanami, maybe you could. I mean, if you make Birchas HaTorah before you learn Chumash.
That is true, but the Birchas HaTorah that we make before we learn is different than the Birchas HaTorah we make B'Shas Aliyah, which we'll have to figure out what it is. But the assumption is that to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, we make a bracha every morning on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's one mitzvah. Now we have another dinner when we get an aliyah on the mitzvah Rabbanan of Kriyas HaTorah, we make a bracha also. So Frek, the kasha, which is obvious, many of you asked this already weeks ago, if according to the Shagas Aryeh, I can't say in certain, according to some Sefer, I can't say with certainty that this is a Sefer Torah, so then I can't say with certainty that I'm reading from a Sefer Torah. So the reading, you say, there's no downside to that. You're nothing to lose. Because if you had not. But hey, you're making a bracha. Every oiler makes a bracha, and he says Hashem's name, and it could be the whole thing is not correct. So how do we do it?
Doesn't exception stand by itself? In a sense, because I know if your luck is as you go.
What do you mean by that?
Let's say you have you made a bracha and there was an error.
Correct.
You don't go back.
We'll talk about that. That's all telling the sugi. We'll come back to that. We'll see. That's the famous Chumash Rambam, which we have to deal with at some point. So let's take a look over number 5. So Frank, the Gerev, the obvious kasha. Well, lo meloi choshin gamkin shem yesh kusayz v'yaseiru she'in ono b'kim v'asev v'tayra behem v'asev v'tayra posel. U'may shno b'richa b'racha d'kriya satayra b'bracha d'ksi v'asev v'tayra. What's the difference? Are they Frank the kasha? So he asked this. Avo b'emes yesh beit chalukim yesh l'chal. So there's really two fundamental differences between these two shilas. Now again, did the Shagas Aryeh have Kriyas HaTorah initial? Of course he did. Of course the Shagas Aryeh had Kriyas HaTorah initial. Even though he wasn't there most of the time, but I thought he had Kriyas HaTorah initial. Of course he did. I had it justified. Had the Shagas Aryeh justified. Or the Chassam Sofer for that matter. You don't think the Chassam Sofer had Kriyas HaTorah? Of course the Chassam Sofer had Kriyas HaTorah initial. Had he justified?
The mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah on Mondays and Shabbos Mondays.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it to read from a Sefer Torah or to read Torah out loud?
Good.
So if that's the reason, then you probably need to read it from a Sefer. From just a Chumash and say the bracha on the mitzvah of reading it, of learning Torah.
Correct. In theory, you're 100% right. So the only problem is it true that let's say you go on vacation, there's no Sefer Torah, but you bring a Chumash with you. Would you call that Kriyas HaTorah? You have a minion, no Sefer Torah.
That's my question.
So the pashtus is not, right? The pashtus is you'd have to have a kosher Sefer Torah.
Right,
all these types of things.
The whole question is you don't have a Sefer Torah. You have a suffix if you have a kosher Sefer Torah.
Correct.
So maybe you don't need a kosher Sefer Torah, meaning you could use a Chumash to be Mekai in the midst of reading the Torah.
Exactly. So obviously everything is going to come back to the real question over here is there a difference between the mitzvah deraisa of Ksiva Sefer Torah and the mitzvah derabbanan of Kriyas HaTorah? Right, we know Ezra, Moshe, and Ezra. We discussed this before in a Tuesday night share. Right, there was takana to lay Monday, Thursday, Shabbos. That's pashtus of mitzvah derabbanan. So the rabbanan is very different than the Torah. So let's see what he writes. Says the Ger Rebbe, Chodo, the bizmana gemara kvar loy hoyu bikim bechaseis v'seis. Points out the Ger Rebbe. When did this lack of Yisrael's Vachaseiros happen? Bizman Amaroyim. Number six, left corner. He says, Ubichol Zois Nisakim Bracha. He says, it's actually very interesting. When they made up the Din Talayn, the rabbis also put into it making the Bracha. Even though they knew good and well that they don't really know if the Sefer Torah Akasha. Ezra was Messiah to Shiloh. What, when? The Maskana Sagimara. No, the question is what for each one was Masakin, how many Psukim and how frequent and how often, all those things. When to lane and how to lane, how many Psukim to lane. So we assume it's the Takanas Chazal, then the Rabbanan, Kriyas HaTorah. So again, Michael, I remember when we did it Tuesday night, you'll have to look it up.
I know.
We did it many years ago. We went through the sugya a little better.
When did it?
I don't remember.
During COVID.
During COVID?
Yeah, same time we also did about with the Solomon and the
Sefer. I think we did it earlier than COVID. Maybe we did it again. So that's right. He says, El kol oyle vo oyle mevarchus na lachreo. In case Takonis Chazal meikara hoisa, I'll say Vitoria should be Danish olam nevar. Says the Gerebbe, very posh. When the rabbi sat down, they worked with what they had in front of them. What did they have in front of them? A bunch of sveikas on the Sefer Torah. When the Torah wrote the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, it wasn't written with the doubt of how to write a Sefer Torah. That's the difference.
When did they live?
Which rabbanim do you want to know?
They
were living at Bizman HaGemara, the Amaroi. So they already.
There was no bracha on.
Very good, very good. We'll get to that in a second. We'll talk about that. But he's suggesting that when the rabbi sat down to introduce to us the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah with the way we do it, they were starting with the fact that Einar Bikim, Yaseis Vechaseiros. So they said to themselves, we know, we're well aware, and Avol Pikein. But when the Torah gave us the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, the Torah was doing it in a way where we should know how to do it. That's the difference. So he says, "Shoyni hi Abraham ki b'shosh nitan hamitzvah hoisa mitzvah save Torah shalom." Or kvi shei oz u'save Torah shalom. Like tikna chazal avorich. Raki miskayim hamitzvah kilchos amidereis. So he says the difference is what time in history you're living. If you're living with what you have in front of you, so you can only work with what you have. Work with what you have, and therefore, when you have that, that's what Chazal wanted you to do. But the mitzvah of to write a Sefer Torah, that was supposed to be done the way Hashem wanted it. We cannot do that today. Since we cannot do that today, we can't make a bracha. And then he says the classical answer that everyone here suggests: Oyd yesh lechalik, the habracha b'kriyas haTorah einay al etzem haSefer Torah. Oh, the reason why we make a bracha when you're oila is not because of the chashivas of the Sefer Torah. Ela bircha shevach al nesinas haTorah. So bircha shevach. Praising Hashem for giving us the Torah. Limar haTorah v'takonos Moshe Rabbeinu v'Ezra likra b'Shabbos v'Sheni Chamishi. V'kivish etakantem miskayem eshabem mevorach. So again, the bracha is, let's say, the bracha is not on the fact that it's a Sefer Torah. We're making a bracha praising the fact that we have a Torah and we have a Torah to learn from. Masha'enkin emrotz levorach ha-mitzvah s'ksiva Sefer Torah. Sha'abrochi ha-kashrus ha-sefer. But what's the bracha of k'siva Sefer Torah? Writing a kosher Sefer Torah. This might not be a kosher Sefer Torah. So when we make the bracha, when we're oila to the Torah, we're not making a bracha on the halachic status of the Sefer Torah. We're making a bracha on the beauty of the Torah, the fact that we have a Torah. We'll get to that. We'll talk about it. What about the Sefer Torah is outwardly possible? Let's say it's no shaila. The Sefer Torah is totally possible. So the Tshuva said Rambam, we'll get to B'linad in a few minutes. Rambam says you can still make a bracha.
No, but did you know it was possible when you made a bracha?
Yeah, you know from the get-go. No. Rambam says many people used to do this lachatchila. It would make up, because if you look at it like this, it's not shver. If the bracha on the aliyah is not reflective of the status of the Torah, so then it makes sense. We always assumed that the bracha is reflective to the kedusha and of the Sefer Torah, saying it's not true. Two separate dinim.
So you can make that bracha on a chomish too.
Maybe.
It's about the beauty of the
world. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see. So we're going to talk about that. That's a bush, right? So let's see. So really, typically, so that it's the it's times he pointed out earlier. Really, it's so funny that we go out of order to make two brachas, and each oile, which wasn't always the practice. So now we have more brachas shein and tzrichas according to the Chazon Zayin. That was part of the right. Again, it's hard to, it's very unclear what was the purpose of these brachas that we make, because we all say brachas haTorah before. It has to have something. So he's suggesting it's somehow a brachas haSheva.
The mitzvah is on the Sefer Torah itself. It's on reading. The mitzvah is to read from a kosher Sefer Torah.
Could be.
And you're not.
Okay, so that's the question. How do you understand the bracha when you're oilul haTorah? So there is a nusach in certain Rishayim. It's a kavanat tzibur thing. Since you're reading it from public, it's kedai to make a bracha. What type of bracha is that? Because I chose not to get too down this road about how much we're going to get into this, because it's more of a bricha satira share. But let's
first answer the Takanas Chazal Meikara. So what happened the month before that Takanas Chazal?
Very good.
Very good. Thursday.
That's a kasha. We'll see. He's going to ask that in a second. Right, that's the last piece. Frag the Gereba. 1 second. According to the Chassam Sofer, we don't make a bracha and ksiva Sefer Torah because today we don't know how to write them. But there was a time in history where they did know how to write them. Did they make a bracha then? Meaning, the chayyim they should have. So why is there no documentation of that? Why don't we have it somewhere? Why don't we know about it? Why don't we know what it is? He affected Gereba. Yeah. Meaning, there was a time in history where they made this brach. According to the Chassam Sofer, he's not arguing. We'll see some achrayim say that the whole concept of a bracha doesn't make sense for ksiva Sefer Torah. We'll get to that. But the Chassam Sofer doesn't say that. He says the reason why we don't make a bracha is a technical problem. We don't know if we're doing it right. But there was a time in history where Jews knew how to do it right. So that's what I originally thought until I saw this sticker from the Gereba. He writes, Ach Yesh Laim. Right. So look at this. Look at the Chassam Sofer. Look at the Gereba. This is great. Ach Yesh Laim, the Fiyak Chassam Sofer, Hoy Tzarek Levarach, Bizman HaMishnah. According to the Chassam Sofer, the only reason why we don't make a bracha today is because we don't know if we're doing it right. But there was a time in history, Zman HaTorah was a very long period of time, where there were Jews who knew how to write Sefer Torah. So they made the bracha. He says, Rak mi'amaroyim lo yibikim, ki demash b'gemar sham. Umadua le moifia umuva b'shum mokoim shebarcha ksiv Sefer Torah. Why is there no mention, reference, that there was a bracha on ksiv Sefer Torah? K'moy shematzidu b'shar mitzvahs. Says the Gereba, we find this by other mitzvahs. Kachios kachim. There's a bracha that they made when they ate kachim. The kohen gadol b'yom kippurim, v'ashchitas kachim, v'chas hamelech, yevu v'oid. Even though we're not able to make these brachas, but they were documented. That's right. Lama loimuva aksiva sefer Torah.
That's right that they didn't.
This is right. Not like the Chassam Sofer. According to the Chassam Sofer, it should come out that there was a time in history where they made a brach. And then afterwards, they stopped making the brach. But they should.
Every single brach is documented in the brach.
He's saying that we do find brachas that existed only at that time that we don't have today. So,
it's very hard to bring a raya from the omission.
Exactly, right? We'll bring a raya from the lack of something, right? Because we don't have any documentation of this bracha.
I put in the novel and all that other stuff. That was totally in the existence of the base of Mikdash.
Right.
This, again, going back to what you said before.
It's not totally.
We weren't paying attention, so we forgot. So it's on us.
But again, but shouldn't there have been documented sometime that someone made this bracha? You're right. I agree with you. But it doesn't matter why it's forgotten, but there was a time when it was being practiced, and now it's not being practiced. So we should have documentation that says that this is the Nusach HaBracha when you write a Sefer. They were writing Sefer Torah, it's not the noise. You would think, right? It doesn't say it anyway. So this leads anyone thinking would say to themselves, no, there must be another reason why you don't make a bracha. But the Chassam Sofer doesn't say that. The Chassam Sofer gave us a reason that we don't make a bracha because he says v'chaseves. So that's the kasha. Very strong kasha, I think, on the Chassam Sofer. But it gets even better. Let's get a little bit detailed over here. This is a little off topic, but it's inyan le'inyan bo'yisa'inyan. When would you make the bracha on Ksiva Sefer Torah?
Before
what? Before you start? So let's work out the options. We have a din, every bracha has a mitzvah to do over last year. So you're going to make the bracha before you start. It's a 6-year project.
Exactly.
You make the bracha on the first day you start it, you'll never get to half of it. So that's not going to work.
You make it every day.
It's not a new mitzvah every day. No. Oh, so that's really the whole Mishnah Shaila. What is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to have a fully finished Torah? Or the mitzvah is to write a Torah? So every day that I'm writing,
Why not?
The pastor, because a mitzvah nimshachas, we don't make a brach on a mitzvah nimshachas. A mitzvah that lingers on and on, we don't make a brach. That's a different mitzvah, maybe. So let's see. So Zog the Chassam Sofer, in that same tshuva number 7, he the shoyel, the person who asked him the question, went this round. When would you even make a brach? So if you remember last week, we saw the beginning of the Chassam Sofer, he said, I've been really busy, I don't really have time to answer you, but I'll try to give you something, right? But I'll give you something. So the Chassam Sofer says, when would you even make the bracha? So the guy starts tining, would you make it in the beginning? Would you make it at the end? So the Chassam Sofer comes up with a gevaldik pshara. He says, al-mikom mokom nir lizeh, v'al-koponim yichtev ad le'eni kol Yisrael. The Chassam Sofer has a great option. Write the entire Sefer Torah until the last 2 words. Then, v'sham yamtin v'yagia kol ha-sefer. Then you proofread it. Send it to the computer. V'achar kach yivorech v'yichtev le'enei kol Yisrael. Says the Chassam Sofer, you know when you'd make the bracha? Because the shoyel was bothered. If you're going to write it, if you're going to, let's say you're going to write the last 2 words, but maybe you'll have to go back and fix it. Because again, you wrote the first half of the Sefer Torah 6 months ago. Could be you made a lot of mistakes. So now you're going to finish writing it. You're going to make the bracha. You're going to write the last 2 words. Then you're going to realize, I made a mistake in Bereishis and Lech Lecha and all these places. Exactly. The guy who had to pay the money. So Zog Tech Samsoev, I have a very simple idea. Finish up to the last 2 words. Do the spell check. Then after everything looks good, make the bracha and write the last 2 words. Zog Tech Samsoev. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. We'll talk about that in a second. Right, good. But again, I just want to show you what the Chassam Sofer says. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, the oz who the Mikayim mitzvahs are saying maskil v'goymer. And then you'll be Mikayim the mitzvah, because you begin and you finish. So you make the bracha. Then he writes, Avon is dead, in kushes utzvicha, then he says, well, your kasha never gets off the ground, because if you say it's v'chaseves. But what do you see from the Chassam Sofer? In his mind, the perfect time to make the bracha would be, when would you insert the bracha? You'd make it after you proofread everything, before you have 2 words left to go.
The proofreading is like the beginning, and
His proofreading is because he's afraid that if you don't make sure it's real, you don't want to, because you can't make a bracha. No. I think he was afraid because the shoyel said to him, "If you're gonna write, you're gonna make the bracha, you're gonna finish, and then you're gonna realize afterwards there's a mistake. So proofread first, right? Practical. I guess the last 2 words, we're not worried you're going to make a mistake. We're not worried you're going to make a mistake on the last couple of words. The last, you know, the rest of the bulk of it you did is 6 months ago. Maybe.
Could you have more than one sofer and then one sefer Torah, or they have to split the brachos?
Right. So if they'd be doing it that way, there's got a big shaila, which can you write a sefer Torah b'shutfus? Two guys go into partnership to write a sefer Torah. Again, today it's not really, you're not writing, you're hiring someone. Who gets the mitzvah? Let's say me and you together put money together. And we hire a sefer to write for us. Who gets the mitzvah?
Why can't you say both?
Maybe the whole sefer. You buy a letter. All these things that they do today, right? So let's see. Look, this is a pell to me. Tiny the ger Rebbe Pnei Menachem. He says his own shot. He says, I'll tell you another reason why we don't make a bracha on Ksivas Sefer Torah. Shari Hadin Hu Shetzorach Lavarach Oivel Asiyosim. Because the rule is you have to make the bracha Oivel Asiyosim, right? The Khan HaMitzvah LeNigmeris Achid Goy Meluch Deva Sefer Torah. V'alkein Yiefshe Lavarach. Says the Pnei Menachem, it's impossible to get Oivel Asiyosim over here. Why? Because when are you going to make the bracha? Before you start, it's too early. Then he says, V'koidem, look at the next paragraph. V'koidem HaTeva Achareino LeMikri Oivel. Meaning he's bavaring the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer said, I have a very good answer. You'll make the bracha before you write the last two words. Right? We have a rule that as long as you're still involved in the mitzvah, you can make the bracha. So before I write the last two words, Leinei Kol Yisrael, I can make the bracha. Says the Gereb, no.
He proofread everything. That's part of the Ksiva also.
Tesh Lodim, I don't know if that's true. I don't know. But listen to the Gereb's Taina. The Iker HaMitzvah Karanasis. He says, you can't make a bracha if the bulk of the mitzvah is already done. You wrote 99% of the Sefer Torah. Ah, very good. So he doesn't seem to assume like that. He says the ein hamitzvah rak b'teves achrein. The mitzvah is not the last words. The kimin shemeshach zman hamitzvah hu behechrach zman aruch loyshayich levarach bechas hamitzvahs. So the Ger Rebbe is a peltim. Did he not see the Chassam Sofer? The Chassam Sofer said this is a great suggestion. The Chassam Sofer said leave off the last two words, make the bracha and write the last two words, and everyone's happy.
So according to the Ger Rebbe, let's say you have a 15-room house. And also, then your last room, you forgot to make the bracha for B'dikas Chometz. So since 14 of them would be
very good. I didn't put it down over here, but the Ger Rebbe himself connects this to B'dikas Chometz. Because that's the problem. We make the bracha when we do B'dikas Chometz, our beer Chometz. We don't do the beer for another 12 hours. So according to him, how do you make the bracha? So he says, no, because you really could burn the Chometz that night. You really could burn the Chometz. We'd rather wait till the morning because of Domi Denoisa. We want to burn it during the day. But strictly speaking, you could do the mitzvah right now. What? Right, so it should be considered. It should be a problem.
Well, no, because you're doing b'dikas night. The bracha is b'dikas chometz.
No, it's not. Bracha is beer chometz.
I changed the sitter. Come on.
Over. I think that's the Ger Rebbe's point. His point is that we're not going to structure a bracha on a mitzvah if we're only doing it in a b'diavad way. Doing the bracha this way, although avada he's maskim. That you could do it this way, he would agree. If let's say, for example, a guy was boiding his house, like in Michael's case, and he realized before he got to the last bedroom, he didn't make a bracha. Avad, he make a bracha right now. Are you ready to do 99% of the mitzvah? But that loch is as long as you didn't finish the mitzvah, you can make a bracha.
What is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah the ksiva or is it the result?
So let's go back. Let's talk about a different shiloh. If you take a look at number 9 over here, there's an interesting shiloh by the mitzvah of makkah, putting up a fence around your house. And that people don't talk so much about this mitzvah, but it's nagah. I got a shiloh once about it, about putting up a fence around a porch. When do you make that bracha? So first of all, you got to know it's a mitzvah. Okay, it's A. There's a mitzvah to put up a makkah, put up a fence around a porch, and you make a bracha. Now here's where it gets really complicated.
Does it go on the owner or the sheikh gets the dinner?
So that's a big shayla. That's the shayla that someone called me up about. If you have a goy, do it. Shlichos, but the goy, it's a lot of it. So when do you make the bracha? When you start putting up the fence, it could be a 3-day project. If you're a Jew, it's a 12-day project, right? If I did it by the time I put up, all my kids would be out of the house already. It wouldn't be Negeya. I wouldn't even need to put up a mic. Take me a whole lifetime to do
it.
So we don't know. Oivel Asiyosim means you got to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. But you can't be oivel de oivel. That's too early, right? That's for a different reason. That's because you're afraid the guy won't accept it.
Right?
That's one reason. So that's the question. What's considered a mitzvah nimshachas, right? Most mitzvahs don't take a whole lifetime. So a micah could take a couple days, depending on how handy you are. So when would you make the bracha? So he writes over here, Ulam da dan yesh laim, the mitzvahs makah sheyeshem, the bracha. Some people say you make the bracha on the last conclusion of the fence. So fact akash, how does that work with the Ger Rebbe? Like the Ger Rebbe, why would you make the bracha then? I'm number 9 in the right corner. Fact is safer, according to the Ger Rebbe, you can't make a bracha when you already finished most of the mitzvah. So how do you make a bracha on the makah? What happened over there? I put up 99% of the fence. I'm going to put the last connection over there. I'm going to make the bracha right before I do the last piece. Why is that different than writing the last two letters of the Sefer Torah? So what's the obvious way out of it? It depends what the mitzvah is. Is the mitzvah putting up a fence? Or the mitzvah is having a protection around my backyard? If the mitzvah is the protection, so then right before I didn't finish the mitzvah yet. Meaning the protection is not until it's protection. But by Ksiva Sefer Torah, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to write a full Sefer Torah. or complete a Sefer Torah, have a completed Sefer Torah?
According to the Rosh, you say he's having a completed Sefer Torah.
Well, you don't know the bracha, so it's hard to say.
Okay, so usually a bracha is a dead giveaway of how the mitzvah was structured. Right. That's usually what we use. But here it's hard to know. So yesh lodim, whether or not it's a raya or not. I don't know. Is it Al Lassus? It's in the city. I got to take a look. It's in the city they have. Okay, but this is all. They do not make a bracha. No, they definitely do not make a bracha. There's a shiloh, you make a shachiyonu, but we don't make a regular bracha. Okay.
It's possible that even though there's a beforesh a mitzvah to do it,
Oh, Gvaldik. Look at the next page. Look at the next page. Exactly. Very good. Look at the next page.
What's the whole point of having
a bracha? Oh, very good. So David got it right. Oh, David got it right. And if you look at the next page, number 9, we're in the Hasidic world today. Now we're going to Vizhnitz. So we spent a little time in Ger. We spent a little time. Now we're in Vizhnitz. All you Vizhnitz are Hasidim. So the Birchas Moshe was the Rosh Hashiva in Vizhnitz. So he also, Amaisa wants a Vizhnitz Yeshiva, the Erech Masa Sefer Torah. So he also gave a share on the topic. Look, that's, as he get all the good information from the big Rosh Hashivas. So he basically suggests what David wanted to say. That you know why we don't make a bracha on Ksiva Sefer Torah? Because the mitzvah is not just to write a Sefer Torah. It's a big chiddush. He writes, "Al kuponim nimtzinu lemeidim the mitzvahs ksivas sefer Torah einenu gemar hamitzvah." That's not the end of the mitzvah. Ela hechsher mitzvah umetarash al yado yuchal kaim mitzvah liberat Torah. It just allows you to get to the next step of learning Torah. That's right, hechsher ksivah b'Torah. Right, it's good to remember. Ubi yois kein shaper e mevorchen al ksiva ki ein zug mar mitzvah. He wants to suggest that all of this is just it's not a mitzvah unto itself. Putting on tefillah is a mitzvah unto itself. Put on tefillah, end of story. Writing the Sefer Torah is not just because Hashem wanted people to write things. Hashem wanted there to be svarim in the world.
Writing tefillah is no book.
Correct. I would think so. I would assume. That's like a Hashem mitzvah. So he's suggesting. That's right. That's what he's saying. No, he's saying, but you need, so he's saying that you need to have, you got to get off the ground somehow. So therefore it's deemed a mitzvah, but doesn't get a brach. That's why it's not recorded. Right. So he's suggesting no bracha no matter when you live. Today, doesn't matter. The nature of this mitzvah. Meaning we have a list of mitzvahs. Right? Everyone knows there's a list of mitzvahs. Yes, correct. It's against the Chassam Sefer. Now we have a list of mitzvahs that we don't make brachas on. Everyone knows. Kibbutz of the Aim, Tzedakah, all the famous ones. Perivrivya, all the famous ones. Now you have another one to add to your list. Well, we had some Sefer Torah, Mina Shaif to Meshaif, there's another one. Now you have another one. Ksiva Sefer Torah is not a mitzvah that has a bracha. So it used to be back then, before the times of Rishonim, the whole learning was from the Sefer Torah. That's how people used to learn.
Okay, but it's still a concept of a public reading.
That's only the Rabbanan. He's talking about the Torah level. Mitzvah deraisa of Ksiva Sefer Torah was connected to learn Mana Torah, and therefore it's only what he calls a Hechsher Mitzvah.
Hakel.
Maybe.
Hechsher Mitzvah.
I'm not saying that Sefer Torah needs to be in the world like a Maka needs to be.
No, he's saying it's a Hechsher Mitzvah. It's not the end. It's not what Hashem. It's not the ultimate goal of what Hashem wanted. Hashem wanted us learning Torah. Now the only way to learn Torah is by writing. It might be like buying farm. Now the problem is.
What about all the people that put it in Tariq Mitzvahs?
Yeah.
Mitzvah in Tariq Mitzvahs.
So again, we do have Tariq Mitzvahs that don't have brachas. We do have some of them. Tzedakah is a Tariq Mitzvah. I don't think he means it's mamish hechsher mitzvah. He means avad, it's a mitzvah on the book, but it doesn't get a bracha. You have to make a new category now. Right, the Moshe we talked about is by binyan sukkah many times. Is binyan sukkah mitzvah? Or let's say again, a sukkah would fall down from Shemayim, would you still have mikayim the mitzvah? So again, these are all big shilas about how to look at different mitzvahs. But I want to just start the last piece of our conversation. Who said that a Sefer Torah that's missing a letter is possible? So we all jumped on the Shagas Aryeh. Maybe he's not right. Take a look at the more in Gittin. Right? It's Daf Samach. The Daf will get there soon. Right? Where's the Daf holding now? In the Nuns or the Mems? And the Mems. They'll be there before we finish probably a couple pages. So Zog the Gemara in Gittin. So for those of you that are learning Daf Yoimi, when you get to Daf Samach Omer Aleph, pay extra attention, because that omid has a lot to do with our sugya, has a lot to do with Kriya Satayro and Inyanim related to Kriya Satayro, which will take a little bit from our sugya. So this way you'll be a little bit ahead of it when you get to Daf Samach. The Gemara says in Daf Samach, Omer Reb Yochanan, Sefer Torah shechosi yiriya achas ein karim. A Sefer Torah that's missing a yiriya. A yiriya doesn't mean a few words. Yiriya means an entire column. So the Gemara says, if you have a Sefer Torah that's missing an entire column, you may not read from it. So Tosfos and Megillah jumps on this Gemara. Now, Yiriya Achas is a lot. The Gemara could have said a lot smaller, like, Sefer Torah Shechaser Ois Achas. Yiriya is an entire section, and then there's words and letters. So Taisus makes the dig from this Gemara that a Sefer Torah Shechaser, you can't read from it only if it's Chaser Atari Yiriya. If it's missing merely a few words, it's not possible to read from it. That's Shitas HaTosef. Taisus Megill, daf test number 11, he writes, if he has a kasha on the Gemara over there, because Shammai Mifsala Bahachi, Olay Eina Hayachasa Kol Elu, Hashalash Tevis. He's talking about the Gemara over there about writing that we have in our Chumash and we have some Targum. We have the word Yigar Sadusa. That's not a Lashon HaKodesh word. So no. Taisus says, you know what? Skip those words. The Sefer Torah will still be kasha. The haloi ilu hayuchasa kol elu hashalish tevis loy mifsel b'hachi. I mean, let me get in. Say v'teru shechasi yiri achas in karim ba mash medavki yiri achas. Avo pasuk echad loy. Tosus makes a deal that from this gemara it sounds like the only thing that passes the sefer Torah is yiriya. But if it only be a couple of words, it wouldn't pass the sefer Torah. Now the truth is, you'll see most of the other rishonim disagree with Tosus, and they hold that the gemara says yiriya for a different chiddush. But halacha lemaisa, this taisus is used. Taisus' sheet is very clear. If the sefer Torah is missing a few words, it's still kosher. Kosher l'kriya. Again, we're not talking about whether or not you're kosher for the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. We gotta, you know, think about it differently. We'll see. I'll get to that, right? So according to taisus, it's not a problem. According to taisus, it's not a problem. That's the Gemara's territory over there. Like, why answer that over there? Good. So they would read those words. It would be a problem of Torah Shabbat that you can't read Baal Peh. That's a separate problem. Again, that's all Nakim over there. Dav Samach. But this Tosfos is amazing. Tosfos says that if the Sefer Torah is missing up a couple of words, it's still kasher. So according to this Tosfos, we have no kasher. Yeah, right. But this is the way, but Tosfos holds this way. Tosfos' sheet is a Sefer Torah that's chotzer a couple of words is still kasher v'kriyas haTorah. So according to this, you don't have any kasher. What I have, the Shagas I read the Sefer Torah. The Shagas I had no problem. So he was somech on Tosfos. So then you have it. Okay. Correct. According to this Tosfos, if the Sefer Torah is missing, obviously you can't read what it's missing. Or you can't read what's not there. Again, but this is Shitas HaTosfos. Now, just for argument's sake, look at the Rashba.
Except he didn't do bracha. If it wasn't bracha, then he could make a bracha.
No, he was talking about the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. So, according to the Tosfos, it's kosher. You can make a bracha. Yes. Tosfos says, I have a Gemara that shows me that what makes a Sefer Torah readable is not whether or not it's Shalom, even if it's not.
And this is not discovered in the middle. This is you can start knowing.
Correct. Take a look in the Rashba on that Gemara in Gittin. The Rashba says no. Sefer Torah shechasi yiri achas ein karim ba nearly diri achas lav daf daafilu ksav echod ma. Says the Rashba. Don't jump to such conclusions. Ksav echod means even one letter. Kavachoyim mitzvila. Because this is the funny part. There's a Mishnah in Menachos. Mishnah Menachos says tefillin mezuzos one letter passes everything. Doesn't say a word about Sefer Torah. Says the Rashba, if apostles tefillin mezuzos, it's got apostles Sefer Torah. It's got to be. It's kavu chaimer. We know Sefer Torah is, because the Gemara says many places that Sefer Torah is on a higher level than tefillin mezuzos. Yeah. So Zok the Rashba, and this is the opinion of many Rishonim, if it's possible for Sefer Torah, if it's possible tefillin mezuzos, it's got to be possible Sefer Torah. So the Rashba does two things. First of all, he argues on the Deek of Tosfos, and secondly, he says, I think from the Mishnah Menachos, it's clear that it's possible.
So again, well, that's the Gemara question. How can Tosfos say what
they're
saying?
Good.
Why could the Gemara not bring down the Mishnah from Menachos?
Because the Gemara over here was focusing on a different point. The Gemara over here wanted to know, can you read a Sefer Torah? The Gemara calls it Chumashim. Chumashim doesn't mean like we have printed. It means like the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls had a separate scroll of Bereishis, a separate scroll of Shmos. The Gemara wants to know, can I read from that? The Gemara says, what are you talking about? It says in the Chazal that if you're missing a Yiriyah Achaz, you can't use it. So you're missing more than a Yiriyah Achaz. You're missing four books. So the Gemara says, no, there, it's not called missing. I have all that I need. I have right here. That's the Gemara's teretz over there. So the context of the Gemara was more relevant to Toskasa Yiriyah. So now, this
Machlokes. How would the Rashba explain why Rabbi Yochanan used that?
So again, so over there, it's more negated to the sugya over there in Daf Samach, why the Gemara picked Yiriyah Achaz. What we need is Machlokes Tosfos and the Rashba. Tosfos holds missing a couple still makes it kosher. The Rashba disagrees. Then we'll have to see, we're way over time already. Next Sunday, Mitzvah, we'll see the Rambam. The Rambam is the biggest pell of the day. The Rambam is a steerer between what he wrote in Yad HaChazaka and what he wrote in a letter in the Tshuva. He seems to contradict himself that he, in one place, he seems to hold that if a Sefer Torah is missing a letter or it's possible from the get-go, you can make a bracha on it lechatchila. That's going
to...
So we'll talk about Mitzvah next week, and then we'll finish up the discussion of are you mechoyev to do a mitzvah if you know that you might not get the mitzvah right even after you do it. We'll talk about that Blinezer a little bit next week.
David, by the way, POU says that if you hire a guy to put up your fence...